So we're on week four of Winning the Mind Wars, and got just a bit of an introduction before we actually get into the teaching this week. But again, I'm finding myself having to say this. If you have missed any of the first 3 weeks, okay, go back and listen to them. Go back and listen to them, because when we started, we told you in the introduction, you know, that these are building blocks here. These are, each week needs to be kind of processed as a part of a whole and built upon. And so I don't want you just to maybe get one or two parts of it, because this is kind of an unfolding deal here, and for you to really get the depth of it. And I believe that God does want all of us to get the depths of this. We're going to have to really give ourselves to this, to pay attention and to hear what God is saying, and not hear just other stuff that isn't being said. Okay, so let me give you a bit of a review here, and then we're going to eventually get to the teaching this morning. But for those of you who need to get caught up a little bit, just some quick highlights, some points. We started off 3 weeks ago talking about Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart," what? Yes, you've been listening. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. A very deep, very defining phrase there. The thinks word we saw, it's the only time in the Hebrew language that that word is used, and it means to be a gatekeeper. And so as you fix your mind, and to the degree that you are a gatekeeper and a protector over your thoughts, that is what is going to define who you are and what you do. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We made the point that none of us can control what thoughts we have. They just come from all over the place sometimes, don't they? Or am I the only one? Yeah, thank you. You can't control the thoughts you have, but you can control what you do with those thoughts. And that really is the issue of what we're talking about here, getting our minds renewed. And doing the right thing with these thoughts that we have, okay? Now, because our thought life is so radically important, we made the point that all the way back in the Garden of Eden, there is a satanic war waged against our minds. Because the enemy knows if he can control our minds and our thoughts, he can then control our actions. And so we saw all the way back in the Garden of Eden, what? The enemy goes after Eve's mind first. She passes it on to Adam, but the enemy goes after Eve's mind first. The enemy speaks lies to her, right, about the character, nature, the will of God, all that stuff, because he's a liar. And we made the point, if he's talking, he's lying. Okay? So there is a very real satanic mind war going on in all of us, and it's for believer and unbeliever alike, and we showed you plenty of scriptures for that. But because this mind war is very real, we need to be gatekeepers of our mind. We also need to do what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13. We've got to gird up the loins of our mind and be sober. It literally means to build a hedge. So it's not just being a gatekeeper, although I think Peter was probably thinking of that. It's not just being a gatekeeper, but it's building that hedge of protection around your mind and being sober. It means to be vigilant, watchful, attentive to what's going on in here. And if what's going on in there is good and holy and right, glory to God. Think about it more often. Meditate on it more often. But if it is ungodly and unholy and unrighteous, something needs to be done about it. Those thoughts need to be taken captive to the obedience of Christ, and they need to have the Word of God and the will of God applied to it, and your mind needs to get renewed right there, okay? So, you know, here we go, being cautious, protective of our minds. We talked about the importance of mind renewal from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where the Apostle Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't take on the images and the ways and the values of this world. Don't be conformed to it. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. It's then that you prove and know and experience what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is another very, very true, just very clear fact, okay? Your transformed life, or lack thereof, is directly attached to the amount of renewing of your mind. In other words, if you renew your mind 20%, you're going to have a 20% transformed life. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. It's that word metamorphosis, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so renewing our mind is absolutely necessary. It's not just for the people that are really spiritual. It's for everybody who names the name of Christ, okay? Our natural minds need to be renewed from their natural carnal states, and they need to be renewed into the mind that God has for us, which we'll see today. Now, all this talk over the last couple of weeks, carnal mind, corrupt mind, darkened mind, debased mind, all that, ooh, I'm so glad we're past that. The fantastic news is, with all of the warring going on and all of the junk that floats around in our heads, listen, God has given us every single thing that we need to win the mind wars. There is nothing, would y'all say nothing?
Nothing?
There is nothing that God has held back from us and said, okay, you guys go ahead and win the war. I believe in you, but I ain't helping you. God is saying, hey, I'm giving you every single thing that you need to win the mind war and to have a renewed mind. He's held nothing back from us. That's fantastic news. So here we go. Point number one this morning. As born-again believers, I'm not talking about religious people or cultural Christians because, you know, I'm born in America, that means I'm a Christian. I'm talking to born-again believers who have repented of their sins, who have received Jesus as their Savior, and have been made spiritually alive by the resurrected Son of God. As born-again believers, here's our first point. We have been given the mind of Christ. That's where we're going to start on this deal this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul just lays it flat out and said, we have the mind of Christ. He didn't say, eventually you're going to get the mind of Christ. He said, no, right now, he's talking to the church, no, right now, you have the mind of Christ. And it's interesting to me that then we get to chapter 3, and he said, I can't even speak to you as carnal people, but as spiritual people, but as carnal. So even though they had the mind of Christ, again, they were living carnally. Okay, that's not our goal. That's going back to what we talked about, but just want to bring it up real quick. We have been given the mind of Christ. I want you just to think about this for a minute. Let this get percolate down deep because you need a foundation to launch from and to hold on to. Of course, as a believer, I've been given the mind of Christ. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 tells me that he who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Because of our unique union with Jesus Christ, because we're joined to him, we are one spirit with him. Christ in us, us in Christ in us, the hope of glory. The mind of Christ that we've been given? Of course I've got the mind of Christ. He's dwelling in me. Are you with me here? He's not holding anything back. He is bringing himself and depositing himself into our life. Again, this isn't some message, y'all, of pulling yourself up by your boots and, okay, I'm going to get a renewed mind. No, 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 no. Your Christ mind, it's already there. It's already been given to us. Now, let's unpack it some more. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, and there's this whole chapter is this contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and how much better the New Covenant is, but just for time's sake this morning, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant, God speaking, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." Paul's quoting the prophet from the Old Covenant. This is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Look at this. I'm going to put my laws in their mind. I'm going to put my truth in their mind. I'm going to put my ways and my word in their mind, God says. And I'm going to write them on their hearts. And I'm going to be their God, and they shall be my people. Now listen, we start, and these are just three passages, beloved. We start putting this together, and we're going, that's right, I'm one spirit with the Lord. I've got union with him. I've got resources unimaginable in Christ who dwells in me, the hope of glory. I'm one spirit with him. I've been given the mind of Christ. And God himself has put his law on my mind and written his law in my heart. Do you see, already we have such unbelievable resource that most of us never tap into. There's a word that I've it's been a couple of years since I've really made a big deal about it, but this word's in my mind all the time. And it's the word appropriate. Appropriate. It means to take hold of and use it for your own purpose. Church, listen to me. Appropriating what's already been given to us is the issue here. We have the mind of Christ. God has written his will on our hearts and placed them on our minds. He's already done that. It's already there. So we don't need to be struggling and laboring to try to get it. We need to start from that point, right? We're fighting not for victory, but we're fighting from victory that's already happened. So we're appropriating everything that God has already deposited in us as a new creation in Christ. And so when stinking thinking begins to happen, right, where do we take that? I'm so thankful. I don't even know how this happened. I don't remember anyone teaching me, but I'm so thankful that as a brand new Christian, I started to learn and to rehearse. When junk came in, I learned to speak to the junk and say, hey, that's not the will of God in Christ Jesus for me. That's not the will of God in Christ Jesus for my life. And see, so you don't just let the craziness float around in there in some green, sludgy yuck, pond scum. You have no idea what goes on in here while I'm preaching. Every once in a while it comes out and you're going, pond scum? How'd you get that? Listen, God has given us the mind of Christ. He's written his law on our heart and on our mind. It's there, okay? What else has he done for us? He's given us a sound mind. And you just connect the dots and you go, okay, well, of course I would have a sound mind because I have the mind of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It means a disciplined mind. It means a concrete mind. It means a mind that is stable and not double-minded and wavering and wafting and just going all over the place. No, what God has already given us besides the mind of Christ and putting his law on our minds and in our hearts, what he's done beside that is he's given us a sound mind. It's ours in Christ. It's already a done deal. Now, John MacArthur gave a great analogy of this. John MacArthur said, you need to think of your mind like a newborn baby. Think of this. He said, when a baby gets born, they're complete. It's a person, it's a child, it's a baby. They're complete. They have everything they need. All they have to do after that is grow and mature. So, Christian, here's how I want you to see yourself. I want you to see yourself as complete in him. That's what the Bible says. We're complete in him. See yourself as complete in him, having everything that he's already given us, but just in need of growing. That's the issue. So we're going to talk about how we can grow, because then that's how our natural mind gets renewed and the mind of Christ gets bigger and takes over more authority between our ears, and then we think different thoughts and we live different lives and we reflect the character and nature of God better, and that's the process of how this thing works, okay? But I want you to know what's already yours, what's been given to you, okay? And I want you to see yourself to start appropriating those things that are already there. This could be a point of homework for you maybe this week. Maybe you could get some lipstick and write this on your bathroom mirror. Maybe you could just get up and look in the mirror and say this to yourself. It might be helpful to put your hands on your head and look at yourself and say, I have the mind of Christ. God has put his law, his will, his word, and his way in my mind, and he's written it on my heart. I'm one spirit with Jesus. I've been joined together with him. Me in Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory, everything that I need, it's already been given me. Y'all, if we started thinking that, believing that, and confessing that, can I just tell you that maybe for some of you, the beginning of the mind-renewing process would really start to take off. It starts right there, just simply believing and appropriating what the Word has already declared to be true. All right? Now, let's move on a little bit. The second point, it catches right up with the first. Our natural mind gets renewed and the mind of Christ grows. How? Through the power of the Word of God. There isn't no shortcut, there isn't any other way. This is God's avenue for our minds to be renewed, and it is none other than the Word of God itself. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, many of you know it's this passage of Scripture where Paul paints this analogy between a man and his wife and Christ and the church. And I don't want to get into all that, but I do want to make a note of this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, it tells us what Jesus has done for us, the church. The he there is speaking of Jesus. That he might sanctify, which means to make holy, and cleanse us, her, the church, is what it's talking about, with the washing of water. How? By the word. Would y'all say, by the word? Yeah, that's how it happens. How does your mind get renewed? How does it change? How do you start living a transformed life? By the power of the Word of God coming in, having its way, you believing it and receiving it, and then that process of sanctification and being made holy and cleansing and washing and renewing, that's how it happens. It happens by the Word. Well, how does the Word do that? See, I'm just trying to ask logical questions to get us from point to point so we can connect the dots here. Well, how does the Word do that? You know how the Word does that? The Word does it because the Word, get ready, is spiritual. The Word is able to renew our minds because it's spiritual. It's supernatural. It's able to do that because the Word is life-giving and it's filled with truth. In fact, it's not just filled with truth, it is truth. It's living and it's powerful and it's a million more positive things, but that's enough for our purposes this morning. Church, listen to me. We have to start seeing the Word for what it really is. And I don't want to split hairs with anybody, but just to make the point, like, this is my Bible. Well, okay, Bible, right? Biblia, whatever. No! This is the inspired, breathed Word of God. This is God, Byron, breathing on us to let us know who he is and what he's like and what he requires and what's ours. This is the living, breathing word of Almighty, eternal God. But if we think of it as our Bible,
it loses a certain flair, doesn't it? And then when you hear the pastor or the preacher say to you, hey, you've been reading your Bible lately? It's, you know, no, not really. Because why? Because it's my Bible. Instead of us looking at it for what it is, God's Word that's filled with life and power and truth and spirit and is able to do incredible things in us and through us and bring change and transformation, we dare not minimize the power of the Word of God in our own hearts and minds. We dare not minimize the absorbing and the experiencing of the Word of God like some religious checklist in my Through the Bible in a Year program. I read my 3.6 chapters. Done. See, I want to know, did the 3.6 chapters read you? Not just did you get into it, did it get into you? And when it got into you, what supernatural explosion happened? What revelation happened? What truth did it bring to you to affirm and confirm that you're on the right path or to say, bro? I usually hear that. Bro, you're on the wrong path. The Word, listen. The Word is able to renew our mind. It's how Jesus cleans us up in a very practical sense. Listen, He cleans us up spiritually through His blood. I get that. I preach that. But it's the power of His Word that sanctifies and cleanses and washes and renews our minds so that our actions then follow. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Beloved, the Word operates in the realm of the Spirit, and it brings the life of God to everyone who will believe it, listen to me, and receive it and give it permission to go deep and to have its way in their life. The Word operates in the realm of the Spirit. And it brings the life of God. It really is everything that we long for. We just don't know that that's really where it comes from. And I'm here to tell you that's where it comes from. John 17, 17. Jesus praying, He says, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Again, make them holy through your truth. And then it's almost like He anticipates us saying, well, what is the truth? And then He says, oh God, your Word is truth. Again, sanctifying and cleansing by the power of the Word. That's how it happens. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God, it is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word is living and powerful, and it penetrates to the deepest places in our life. It goes all the way in and past our spirits. It goes all the way into our minds and discerns the thoughts and intents that we're having. It allows truth to come into our mind where there might be lie and falsehood, and challenge that ungodliness with the truth of God so that it would be overcome then and bring renewing to our hearts and minds. That's how this works. That's how it works. The Word of God is living and powerful. Now, this is a friendly, gentle warning. I don't know what else to call it but a warning. The renewing of our mind through the Word of God, it is without question a spiritual, supernatural process. If you were to have me articulate, Steve, how exactly does this happen? Like, how do you exactly start thinking different ways and different thoughts and, like, what happened? I don't know. I don't know how it happens. I just know it does. And I know that every bit of change and and renovation and renewal that's happened in my mind has come as a direct result of letting my mind be filled with the Word of God. I don't know exactly how it happens. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. It's something that, because it's impregnated with the life of God, when it hits our carnal minds, it just wins. It just happens. Now, the part that I want to warn you about is not that it's supernatural. It's that somehow we listen to all this, and what you're hearing me say somehow, as the sound vibrates your eardrums, is what Steve is saying is, you know, just read your Bible and everything's going to get better, or your mind's going to get fixed. And then you say, how's that going to happen? It's just the Bible. It's just another book. It's just those guys' opinions. And you see what happens? Because we approach it with a natural mind. Paul talked about this later in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. You cannot listen to the truth of God's Word with a natural mind and then blow it off because, oh, that's just another book or another verse or another this or another that, and it doesn't really have any power. Guess what? It won't have any power then. But when you humble yourself before God and you say, Lord, I'm grateful for having the mind of Christ. I'm grateful for being one spirit with you. I'm grateful for the sound mind that I have. I'm appropriating every bit of that right now. I've come to get into your word, the word of God, the word of the ages. And I'm asking you now, God, in the name of Jesus, for the Holy Spirit to come and guide me and lead me in all truth, to show me things to come, to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. Lord, I'm not approaching this like some handbook, some manual. I'm approaching this as the living, breathing, powerful, life-transforming, life-giving Word of God. And I'm asking you to speak to me. I'm asking you to renew my mind, transform my life. I just wonder how often our Bible reading starts like that. Or we find our through the Bible in a year survey reading list. There we are, Genesis 22 through 24, Psalm 15, 16, Proverbs 8, and Mark chapter 6 through chapter 10. Read it, done it, back of the Bible, close it up, and off out into a world where I don't let the power of the Word penetrate my mind, I just let carnality have its way. Loving Jesus in my heart, but never getting to having a renewed mind. That's the part that's got to change. And it's going to change as we start approaching this and dealing with the Word of God as a supernatural, spiritual experience and event. All right, number three. Since the Word is that powerful, all the things that we just discussed and more, since the Word is that powerful and important in renewing our minds and transforming our lives, really, how do we respond to it? Well, we respond to it with humility and prayer and reverence and all that I just got done talking about. But what else? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. This passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul's talking about the Jewish nation that heard the truth of the gospel and yet didn't believe. Now pay attention to these words. Paul says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, Jewish Christians, Hebrews, as well as to them, those who aren't believing. And he said, but the word which they heard didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith when they heard it. You see, beloved, it's one thing to get into the word and to let the word get into you and It's another thing. It's the next step to go, I'm staking my life on it. I'm believing this. I'm owning this as mine, personally. That's how we respond to the Word of God. And when we respond to the Word with that kind of faith, listen, that's where the power is. That's where the renewing comes from. That's where the transformation comes from. We got to believe this thing. How else can we respond? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How do we respond to the word? God told Joshua, hey, don't let this word depart from your mouth. It means don't ever quit talking about the word. Never stop. Speak the word. Then he says, I want you to meditate on it. Marinate in it. Let it wash over you again and again and again. And then sit back and enjoy its power and prosperity. Because when you keep speaking the word, when you meditate in it day and night, when you do what it says, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Anybody looking for that? Absolutely. I am. I'm looking for that prosperity. It means to have peace. It means to be at peace in your mind and in your heart and your soul and your spirit. It means to be at rest, spiritually speaking. So I respond to the word with meditation, contemplation. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Look at this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. There it is again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How do I respond to the word? Yeah, with faith. Yeah, with meditation. Yeah, by delighting in it, by being happy about it, by knowing what it's going to produce in me and through me, and so delighting in God's ways because of what it accomplishes. And then sit back and enjoy its power and its prosperity. He said, this guy, in Psalm 1, he's going to be like a tree planted by the river of water. He says he's going to bring forth fruit in its season. His leaves aren't going to wither. And whatever he does, there's that word again, he's going to prosper. It's all by giving honor to the word of God in your life, by letting it renew your mind, by letting it change your actions, and letting it bring to you that which only God can bring. One more, Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. He said, I'm going to meditate on your precepts. I'm going to contemplate your ways. I'm going to delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. There it is, meditate, contemplate, delight, and not forgetting. This needs to be our attitude toward the word of God. Listen. There's not a place I've found yet in the scripture, Pastor Rick, there's not a place yet that I've found yet in the scripture that says, approach the word of God casually. Approach it half-heartedly. Get a little bit if you ever feel like you need it. What I do see that the word says about the word is to meditate, contemplate, believe, receive. Marinate. Don't forget. Don't stop speaking. It's aggressive. It's intentional. It's thoughtful. It's not an afterthought. It's on the front burner. And when it happens, transformation and blessing accompanies it. It's just how it works. All right. So we're getting close now. This issue of giving ourselves to the word because of its power and everything that it'll do in us and for us and through us, we get all that. But what about what about things that aren't necessarily maybe chapter and verse things, but like, what do we do with the thoughts that this world puts on us in a regular basis? Like, are there just some regular good old guidelines for what we're to set our mind on? Absolutely. I'll check this out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. Where is he? He's in prison. This is a man who was in prison, who I'm sure was fighting his own mind war. Well, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be here. Yeah, power and might and all that stuff. Yeah, sure, look at you. You're in stocks and chains and... See, context with this passage is everything. Paul, sitting in prison, says to his Christian friends 2,000 years later in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." These are the general guidelines for where our mind needs to be. This is the gate. This is the hedge we build. And anything that doesn't fall in line with chapter and verse of the Word of God or the spirit of these things right here, we cannot let it have its way with us. What things are true? True is first on the list because it's the most important thing. It is the truth that combats the enemy's lies. It is the truth that you know that will make you free and keep you free. Truth is first because it's premier in its importance. What's true? I'm not asking you what you feel, what you think, what you suppose, what your insecurity or your rejection is telling you is real or true or whatever. No, what's true? And what's true, think on these things. You know what's true? Your word is true, God. So he starts with truth. Whatever things are noble, whatever is honorable, honest, whatever things are just, it means innocent, holy, righteous. Get ready for this one. Whatever things are pure, it means chaste and modest. This isn't legalism, friends. This is life in the kingdom of God. Whatever things are lovely, it doesn't mean beautiful to behold. It means warm, friendly, and accepting. Next week, we're going to start talking about strongholds, and it's gonna get interesting. But friends, can I just tell you that rejection is one of the single greatest, if not the greatest, strongholds that exist in people's lives? Rejection. Paul says, I don't want you to think about rejection and everybody rejecting you. Probably because, number one, it's not true. But you think about it and you project it and you cast it on people and then it becomes true. Self-fulfilled prophecy. He said, I want you to think about things that are lovely, things that are accepting and friendly and warm. And see, when you think those thoughts instead of thoughts of rejection, pretty soon you find out, you know what? People are a little wacky, but they're not all that bad after all. And they're not thinking about me as much as I really thought they were. I want you to think on things that are of a good report, things that are reputable and things that are spoken well of, things with a good reputation. I want you to set your mind on those types of things. I want you to think about things that are virtuous. It actually, it's interesting, it means manly valor. Chivalrous. Excellence of character. I want you to think about those things. And then lastly, he says, if there's anything praiseworthy, I want you to think about things that when you think about them, it makes you want to praise God. That is praiseworthy. That makes me want to praise God. That makes me want to bless the person that did that. It's praiseworthy. You see, friends, you go through those list of eight things right there, you realize that there's only about 3.27% of this world you can ever even think about. Like, I got down to the place now where here's what I know I can watch on TV. Food Network. Amen, somebody? Yeah. I got recipes. Come on over. We'll visit. I can watch Food Network. I can watch the news sometimes. But now it's just not that. It's the commercials in between. It's been said the preacher up to date is the most powerful being. You know, it's the guy who knows what's going on in culture that's... I'm telling you, I saw a hamburger commercial last night in the middle of the Food Channel that was pornography. Ron, I couldn't believe it. First time I saw in my life, I thought, how can this be on regular TV? And then it takes me to a whole nother level, just going, you know, all this stuff that's on, it's like, we just sitting watching it? We sitting and watching it and letting it fill our minds with all of this stuff. And, you know, I know it's a process. Let me just tell you this. I know it's a process. Listen, I could have watched the old, you know, shoot 'em up, whodunit detective movie 20 years ago. I could have watched that. I can't watch that stuff anymore. I'm not trying to be self-righteous. I'm just telling you. Like, there's something in my spirit that says, we don't need to watch people killing each other all the time in brutal grossness in the name of entertainment. And then wonder why we're scared. Because we're watching people kill each other all the time and we get more and more desensitized to it all the time. And there's nothing true and noble and just and pure. There's nothing of a good report. There's nothing virtuous or praiseworthy about any of that. And so it's great. Get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word. Memorize it, quote it, do all that stuff. But just in your daily living and in your daily thinking, just say, hey, does it pass the Philippians 4:8 test? And if it doesn't, don't participate or cooperate. And when it challenges your mind, say, hey, that's not the will of God in Christ Jesus for me. That's not true. Noble, just, pure, lovely, praiseworthy of a good report, or virtuous. And then you'll find yourself being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I am telling you, this is how this works. Now, next week, like I told you, we're going to start getting into the issue of really what do we do when these thoughts come that are awful. You know, I've joked around with you in the past and said, if you knew what goes on up here, you probably wouldn't come to church anymore. But the fact of the matter is, if I knew what was going on in your mind, I wouldn't want you in this church, so we're even. We're all just messed up needing the grace of God, right? We're going to start dealing with how we literally take thoughts captive, and what does that mean? What does it mean to bring things to the obedience of Christ? so they don't just have their way and then create strongholds in us. We're going to talk about these issues of strongholds. Strongholds are lies that we have been beaten with to such ferocity for such a great length of time that we own them as our own. We make them part of our identity. I told you rejection is one of the hugest strongholds that captivates people. So we're going to start down a journey, and I want you all to pray with me, because here's what I am believing with all my heart. I'm believing there's people in this room, on this campus, that over the next couple weeks are going to be profoundly healed. Yes. Stuff that happened to you when you were little. Stuff that happened to you when you were older. Things you believed, attacks of the enemy, things that have solidified themselves in your own heart and spirit as a stronghold of the enemy's territory. Let's identify that thing. Let's speak the truth of God to it. And let's watch it crumble. And let's watch people get free and stay free. And let's win the mind wars. You have the mind of Christ. You're one spirit with Jesus. He's given you a sound mind, a disciplined mind. Appropriate what's there. Get into the Word. Let the Word get in you. Do that. Let the power of it captivate you. And keep building your hedge and keep building a gatekeeper. If it doesn't pass Philippians 4:8, it ain't getting in. And if it sneaks in, it ain't staying for long. We can win this thing. Ready? Let's stand and pray together. I'm serious when I say that it would be great if we all gave ourselves to prayer over the next couple weeks for what God might do on Sunday mornings and then throughout the week. Father, we're grateful for your word this morning. Again, we pray that not one bit of it would be stolen, but Father, that every single bit of it would bring forth much fruit in our lives. God, I pray that today's truth would renew our minds and that we would either commit or recommit to walking, to receiving, to believing the power of your word. God, move mightily in us and through us. We're desperate for you. Thank you that you're willing. God, move mightily on your people. And may we see your glory in the coming weeks. We believe you for it. Loving Father, powerful God, we believe you for that. In Jesus' name, amen, church.